man. Well, good to see everybody this morning. Good to be saved. Be in the care of the good Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sort of been wrestling the last 24 hours. I sort of had something I'd studied out as far as an outline stuff. And then last night, I went to go to bed and woke up several times. I felt like, Lord, I wanted to go in a different direction with some of this, so you pray for me. I don't know where I'm headed. Just try to follow him. But Brother Joe, if you'd pray for us.
Father, I thank you, Father, for your blessing. I thank you for this day. Father, I just please do need your help, and I pray you be with Brother Danny, Father, that you ease his spirit, bring all thoughts and remembrance to him, Father, that he has studied out, and Father, but most of all, just touch his lips of clay and use them as you will this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. We'll go back to Ephesians 6, and we'll read verses 18 through 20 to start off. I do want to say I appreciate the teaching from Brother Joe and Brother Dennis. As we've been going over this armor of God, as far as I know, we'll close this out this morning. I believe Brother Hyde told me the other morning, I believe this is right, Brother Brill, start next week in the book of Ephesians on a different topic. So we'll try to finish this up this morning. If you look at verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. Paul here is speaking of the importance of prayer. I noticed in verse 18, he used the word supplication twice. Of course, if God says something once, that's sufficient. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times when God mentions something twice, especially in the same verse, it sort of raises my alertness. It makes me feel like God's saying, hey, this is really, really important here. You need to really get me.
Amen.
I'm speaking about this here on more than one time here in the same passage, and repeating myself. I want to make sure you don't overlook this. And that supplication, praying with supplication, just simply means with earnestness, with a strong desire. If I may say this, and I'm just describing myself, I don't know how you are in prayer, but there's been times that I'd say I prayed in supplication, I was begging. Amen. That don't bother me. I realize that might bother some people, but there's been times, I'll be honest with you, I've bowed my head in humility with something greatly burdened in my heart. Something I mean I desperately wanted to see God do, and I'm not ashamed to admit that I bowed my head with tears running down my face and begged God. I mean begging. I can remember times that I bowed my head in such manner and in supplication, prayed, and begged God to please have mercy on my children and save their soul.
Amen.
I've done that on occasion for your children in here, down through the years. I've mentioned it before, especially some of the young men that grew up in this church over the years together. We saw them come up and be raised up in this place. And then some of them went away and got astray for a while. Some still are. And it burdens my heart for those young men. And there's been times I have bowed my head with a tear and said, Lord, please, I beg you, please have mercy on them. Amen.
Amen.
And I thank God that he has answered prayer. I have seen the children in this church that we've been privileged to see grow up here over the last 20 years since I've been here. To grow up and be saved. Amen. Some of them married now, having their own family. That's a great blessing.
Amen.
It tickles my heart to see how God's blessed them. And I thank God for answering prayer. And I consider it a privilege that God would even touch my heart, Brother Joe, and allow me to bow my head and pray for them.
Amen.
Amen. I consider Amen. That a great, great blessing and a privilege. It really is. I'll be honest with you. I look around at the world. I look around here at our church family. I look around at other churches. I look around at a lot of places and I see constantly people needing help from God. But I'll be honest with you. I'm just telling you the truth. It doesn't always burden me like that.
Amen.
I care and I'll pray. But sometimes things just get so close to my heart, so close to home, Brother Joe. It just really just breaks me down and brings me
Amen.
To tears.
Yes.
And beg God. I mean beg God. And I thank God for that.
Yes.
I'm glad that we have that avenue. I'm glad that we can go to God Almighty in the name of Christ.
Yes.
There's been many times I could start here with Brother Todd and go down both sides of these roads and come up and probably stand here and tell you of times that I can remember seeing prayers be answered in your family's life.
Yes.
Amen. God's been good to us here.
Yes.
And I want to glorify Him this morning. I want to say thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I appreciate you being mindful of us and being so good to the people here at Westside Baptist
Amen.
Church. He's been wonderful to us down through the years.
Amen.
Amen. And I sure thank you for that. But let's look back. Let's go back to a few verses. Let's go back to verse 14, and I'm not, like I said before, I'm not about trying to tread on anything that Brother Joe, Brother Dennis preached. I'm just trying to go back. I'd like to go back and just sort of look at a couple of these things and make a final comment before we close out this thought on the armor of God. In verse 14, it talks about having your loins girt about with truth. I'd like to, one more time, point out to you the importance of truth. As I was praying last night before I fell off to sleep, I was thinking to myself, nothing ever really happens apart from truth. Amen? People don't get saved off of a lie. That's right. People, what Paul said, another gospel, a false gospel. We see plenty of that in this day and time in all kind of denominations and cults. None of those people, I ain't going to say they can't be saved. They can be saved. I'm not saying that none of them in all of them outfits aren't saved, because some of them might be and just ain't got out. But they did not get saved hearing what they're preaching. Amen? You can't get saved off of a lie. The truth is precious. Amen? The truth is the very word of God, Brother Todd. It's what God's given us. That's a great gift God gave us, the truth. Amen? We could be left in darkness. You know, there's a lot of people in this old world that's in darkness, and I'm talking spiritual darkness. They don't know. You know, I've had a lot of people ask me, well, I can't figure out why I can't get so-and-so to see it, or why I can't get them to understand it or believe it. They can't. They can't. That's what the Word of God tells us. They can't apart from God. Until the Holy Ghost takes the truth from this Word of God when it's presented to them, and puts it in their heart and gives them open eyes to see the truth, Brother Todd. They can't see it. That's just the simple truth. Now, God's not a mean God. He's not sitting up there playing games with us. Amen. I believe if somebody wants to know truth, God will. I'll say this. God's never failed to save anybody who won't get saved. Amen. Now, I know you can't get saved except God move on you, and salvation is not repeat a prayer. Salvation's not signing a card. It's not getting baptized. It's not any of these other things people do. Those are things that there's nothing wrong with doing. Nothing wrong with coming to altar and praying and asking God to save you. You ought to. If you know you're not saved, you ought to be on your knees begging God to have mercy on you. Ain't nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying the act of praying that prayer or the act of doing these other things is not what saves you. It's God in His wonderful grace working in your life and changing you and making you a new creature in Christ. That's what actually saves you. Amen. I appreciate the truth, don't you? I'm glad God's merciful to me.
Amen.
There was nothing I could do for myself, sister. Nothing. Nothing did make me right with God. And I'm still a sinner in the flesh. Say amen. We all are. The only difference between me and a lost sinner is I'm saved. I've fallen under the good mercy of God Almighty. Amen. I'm under the blood of Christ. That's the only difference. My desires change because God made me a new creature in Christ.
Yes.
Amen. I don't want to live like I used to years ago.
Right.
I don't want to live in sin. But I'm just saying, there's times that I do slip, I fail, and I give in to temptation. I ain't talking about terribly wicked things. I ain't out robbing liquor stores or nothing. And the thought of doing that never crosses my mind, or nothing else would be terribly wicked. But I'm going to tell you what, just failing to do things you know to do. The Bible says, he that doeth not what he knows to do, that to him it's sin. Amen? There's times, I'll be honest with you, I'm not as faithful as I ought to be to spend time in prayer.
Amen.
Spend time in the Word of God. There's times I've walked by people and I've sort of felt that nudge, you know, maybe I ought to stop and talk to them about the Lord and let them walk on. I'm guilty. Amen? Those things that's not pleasing to God. Amen. It's still sin. And we struggle with that. And I'll talk about that here later. But I appreciate the truth. Amen. I'm thankful God gave us the truth here.
Oh, yes.
Amen. In this, we're nobody special. I'm no better. You're no better than a crowd sitting down there at the false church this morning hearing lies. Lost in darkness. In the flesh, I'm no better than they are. To be honest with you, if you just look at our good works and our moral lifestyle, there's probably folks down there live a whole lot cleaner and more moral than I do. But they're lost because they know not Christ. They've never had the truth. But anyway, we'll move on. And it says in verse 15, it talks about the gospel of peace. I'm glad the gospel brings peace with God. Amen. I walk around in terrible shame, Brother Todd. Terrible shame. Troubled all the time before God had saved me. Amen. I'm glad I wear that peace armor this morning. Glad God gave me that. Amen. Gives me peace in my heart. I know I'm at one with Him because of what Christ did. Not because of anything I've done, because of what Christ did. I'm thankful for that this morning. I appreciate God equipping me with that piece of armor. Amen. You look at verse 16, talks about the shield of faith. God gave us faith for a reason. It's to exercise it. Amen. You ever thought about that? I know that's a gift from God. You can't work up your own faith. But God does give you faith to believe and to trust Him. And oh my, how many times I've doubted. I think about over there where it said, oh Lord, help me with my unbelief. I've been weak sometimes in my faith and allowed doubt to creep in, Brother Joe.
Amen.
And I need help with that. Today, just as much as I ever have.
Amen.
But I'm thankful I know where the help comes from and I have access to it. I'm thankful for that. But we have to believe God. There are some things that we know to do. There are some things God will put in your heart to do. Amen. And you just got to do it and trust God. Sometimes it may seem like it ain't going to be enough what God tells you to do. Sometimes you may feel like God tells you to do something or put something in your heart to do that makes you uncomfortable. You know, there is that thing of fear of man. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to stand up here and try to act like I'm all so big and bad and tough that I don't have some fear of man in my heart. I do. I do. There's times, I'll be honest, I'm nervous to talk to some people. I guess I assume they're going to reject everything I say, and I'm afraid it's just going to escalate into an argument, and I don't want to get involved in that because that ain't going to help me or them, either one. But I don't really know that. I ought to just go ahead, God tells me to, and speak to Him anyway, as humbly as I know how. Amen. And just trust God. But I'm glad for that shield of faith. Amen. It says the helmet of salvation. I don't know about you, but I talked about this before. We have battles in our own mind. Amen. The old devil and the world's after us. But I'm going to tell you what, I don't know about you folks, but I'm just going to tell you where I'm at, how I look at it, what I think. I'm my own worst enemy. I know the devil's against us. I know the world's against us. I'm not denying that. I'm my own worst enemy. I think often about that verse where it says, being carried away with the lust of your own flesh. There's times I am tempted. I see things or I'll hear things that springs old memories back into my mind. And if I'm not careful, I'm dwelling on those things and my mind is wandering. Amen. That's right. And I face temptation just like you do.
And if I'm going to be honest, other than the help of God, I have no way of fighting it off, just like you do. Amen. Apart from God, I'd give in to that temptation, Brother Todd. I'm just going to admit it. I'm thankful for his watch care this morning. I'm glad he watches over me. A lot of times when my mind starts going somewhere it shouldn't go, I'm thankful God will put the brakes on and he'll stop me. And a lot of times I'll just say, Lord, forgive me, and I'll do my best to just fight it off and try to get my mind back on what I ought to have it on. Amen. But it's battles in the mind. And it can be terrible. There's some people that don't hold to the help of God very strong, I guess. Maybe they're just weak in the faith, Brother Joe. I don't know. I've been there. I'll be honest, I've been there. And sometimes people give in to things. And, you know, things tend to want to snowball sometimes. You know, you crack the door and let it in, it'll flood in. It'll blow the door wide open and come in and overwhelm you if you ain't careful. And then you're in a mess and you're in a ditch. And you know, I've said this before. I know Brother Heights preached this before, and I believe it's right. You get out of the will of God, you may not necessarily be able to get back in the will of God real quick. Amen. I mean, it takes you a while sometimes to drift and get to the place where you're really out there out of the will of God. I'm talking about as a child of God. If it takes you a while to get in that hole, you know, to get it dug and get in it, it may take you a while to get out of it. I ain't saying God ain't merciful and he don't help us because he does. But sometimes God will let us have to put up with some things and have to endure some things that he might teach us, that our faith might grow stronger in him, that we might trust him and we might not go that route again. You know, I guess about most of us in here has about got children. So we all know if you let a child start getting away with stuff, amen, and you let it go on for a while, it ain't a whole long time before they get worse and worse and worse, and it gets a whole lot harder to try to corral the problem. If you don't cut her off pretty much at the root when it starts, you wind up having some headaches getting through that battle. Amen. I assume that our Heavenly Father is the same way toward us. Amen. And if we stay stiff-necked and stubborn, refuse to get right with him, and it goes on for a while, then I suppose that God's just going to let it be rough on us for a while in chastisement, that it will be an unpleasant experience that will not want to go back down that route again very easily. Amen. That's because he loves us. That's not because he's a mean, vengeful God. He loves us. He's trying to teach us something. Amen. But I appreciate that helmet of salvation. I'm glad that he guards my mind. There's so many things, I won't say this, out there in this world that will get you distracted. Amen. We'll get your mind off the things of God and on the world. And next thing you know, you're just in a bad place spiritually. I guess you could say it caused you to get in a place where you're cold on God. Amen. And it's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to you, to be honest. There's times we've struggled and battled with that. I'm thankful for God's help, though, that he doesn't leave his children alone. I'm glad he never will forsake me or leave me, Brother Todd. Amen. He knows just what I need, and he's always there, and he always does it right and meets those needs. And I thank him for that. But anyway, let's talk about that helmet of salvation. Then we get down into the verses that we read. And I thought about prayer, and I'll probably be fairly brief this morning. I could say a whole lot about prayer. Bible's full of prayer. Examples of prayer, instructions on prayer. We could cover it this morning, try to cover it. We never cover it all. We didn't even come close. Amen. I do want to just say a few simple things this morning. It's why should we pray? It's because we need to. Amen. Because God told us to. Amen. He told us to ask. Is that not right? We have a need. We're to go to our Heavenly Father and ask. Amen. And I know God already knows what we need. Amen. If I've got a problem, I've got a need, God already knows all about it, Brother Todd. He's known about it for all eternity. I'm not by praying, I am not telling God something he don't know already. Amen. God already knows what he's going to do. He already knows just how he's going to work it out, how he's going to fix it for us, and how he's going to meet that need. I'm glad he's that far ahead of me. There's a lot of times I cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. But thank God, God's already put the light there and he knows where it's at. Amen. And he knows just how he's going to get us there. But I'm going to tell you what, I believe this. God will put it in your heart sometimes to pray about specific things. Amen. It's not because he don't already know about it and know what he's going to do. But it's that we'll pray and ask him and have patience over time and then see God do it. And it strengthens our faith.
Yes,
it draws us closer to him. It helps us to grow. Amen. In his good grace. Amen. I'm glad I have a lot more confidence in God than I did when I first got saved. Now, I ain't saying I didn't trust and believe God did, but I'm just saying I went through a lot more times of doubt and worry than I do now. Things worried me 15 years ago. I don't even hardly think much about it anymore. I really don't. I pray. I ask God. Take care of it. Do it his own way and his own will. And God has taught me down through the years to the point that I have a lot easier time now, and I still struggle some, but I have a lot easier time now just leaving it on that altar of prayer and go on and do what I ought to do and not let it burden me and just wear me down and get me discouraged. Amen. I've learned God's let me go through some things in prayer that's taught me to be patient. I've said it before. There's been things I prayed about for years before I saw God do it. You don't think that won't teach you some patience. Amen. You don't think that won't teach you that God just don't necessarily just do something immediately as soon as you pray it the first time. Sometimes you just have to wait on God and trust him. Amen. Knowing God always does right. Amen. I know I can trust him this morning, Brother Joe, and I thank him for that. That's why we should pray. Amen. What should we pray for? One thing we're praying for ourselves. Now, I ain't trying to sound selfish. But we're praying for ourselves. We need help. And other than God Almighty, nobody knows us other than God like we do. I know me pretty good. I don't know me as good as God does. But I know me better than you know me. And you can say that about your own self.
Amen.
There's things we keep secret and hidden in our own heart. Amen. We don't talk to nobody about probably God. Amen. I don't mean we hiding terribly wicked things, but I'm just saying. There's things I think, sometimes thoughts I have, I don't share with nobody. It's just between me and God. Sometimes, really, I'm not thinking it with the intent of God knowing it, but I know he does. Amen. That's just the way it is. That just comes with the deal. But I'm saying there's just a lot of things that I just sort of had the mindset. I thought maybe it'll come across my mind about something, and I think, well, I'll just keep that to myself. For different reasons. I've learned sometimes it's best just not say something if it ain't going to help somebody. Amen. Sometimes things just dig up strife and intentions. You don't intend to. You don't want it to do that. You're just trying to be honest, tell the truth, Brother Todd, and help somebody. But you know sometimes with certain people, certain things you're going to say, it's not going to help them. It's just going to hit that hot button and it's on. I just soon avoid that and pray for them, let God take care of it. Amen. But there's things that I know about me, you don't know, and like I said, same thing. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for one another. The church. Amen. The brethren. Amen. The family of God. Amen. I believe when you get saved, just comes with the package, you'll love the brethren. That ain't something you learn to love the brethren over time. I don't buy that. I believe you love them right off the bat. I do. And, I'll tell you what, I've heard testimonies of people, you know, they talk trash and all kind of mess about people down there at the house of God until they got saved. And the day they got saved, all of a sudden, hey, I don't even remember them things I thought about them people. I don't see that in them no more. Amen. That's right. God just does that for you when you get saved. To love the brethren. But it's a duty. It's a responsibility. It's a privilege. To be able to pray for one another. Amen. We don't have to do it. We can be disobedient to the word of God. But we should do it. And I believe if you really love the brethren, I believe you will. I really do. We need the help of God. We really do. We need the help within the church. Church facing a lot of persecution in this day and time. Amen. And I want to say this, and I'm going to make this as a prayer request. It may not, you may not know about it. You may not have read about it. May not bother you like it bothered me, but for some reason it just bothered me. But I've been reading the news over the last, I guess, month or so, maybe a little longer than that. And I think I've got this right. It's a Ronicki family. You pray for them. I think that's right. It's the Ronickis. But it's a family that left Germany and wanted to come over here. They applied, done it legal. They applied. There's a program within our government that people that's fleeing from persecution in other countries, that this country down through the years has sort of fast-tracked them and allowed them to come on in and gave them protection and asylum, they call it. Amen. But this family's in Germany, professed to be a Christian family, is what I've read. And, you know, they passed a law over in Germany outlawing homeschooling. I don't know if you knew that. They outlawed it. Can't do it. They outlawed Christian schools other than the religious schools that the government approved of. But if you are determined to homeschool your children now in Germany, they will arrest you. And my understanding, it's 10 to 20 years. It's not a light sentence. They will give you 10 to 20 years in prison. And they take the children from them, and they put them, I guess, in something similar to as foster care. It's government. They put them in a government-sponsored home where the family is not Christian. It's intentionally done that way. And those children are deprived of being raised in the love and admonition of the Lord and hearing the truth. And their parents are in prison. But this Ronicki family came over here. They got a lawyer. They applied to come to this country, and it was approved. And within a week, our president and the Justice Department, good Mr. Holder, our Attorney General, revoked it and said that they didn't think they had a legitimate reason to be accepted into this country fleeing persecution. Said they weren't fleeing persecution. Said they were leaving Germany because they were lawbreakers. And Germany was our ally, and so we need to honor that. And they were going to arrest them and have them sent back in shackles to Germany, handcuffed, and have their children took from them. Thankfully, there was a federal judge. I don't remember his name, but there was a federal judge that overturned that. And as of right now, they're here. They're here. And as of right now, they're being told they're going to be able to stay. And they're going to be able to homeschool their children. Get jobs, make their own way. I mean, they're not coming here on the government, you know, handout. I mean, these people here on their own, they just want to make a good life for their own family and have freedom and liberty to worship and raise their children under the teaching of the Word of God. That's all they want. That's what our very founders come to this country for. Amen. I don't know about you, and maybe I'm getting a little out of line this morning, but it really bothers me to think that our leaders will be standing out here at the border, people coming in illegal with all kind of bad intentions, and they got open arms awaiting on them. But they've got a Christian family that professes to know God, just wants to do right, wants to raise their children under the truth of God, and they want to persecute them and send them back to be put in prison. That bothers me. Now, I'm just being honest with you. That caused my heart to really go out to that family. I don't even know these people. But it caused me to really, Brother Hyatt, want to pray for them and pray God to work this thing out, and they'll be able to stay here in spite of that persecution. Amen. It makes me wonder, folks, if they'll do that to a family coming to this country now over that very issue. How much longer it'll be if they could have their way that they'll try to outlaw homeschooling and Christian schooling here. Yeah. It's coming. I don't know if they'll get it done. God may be merciful. I hope he will. And he may put the stop sign up on them, and I hope he does. But I have no doubt they're going to try it. I've said it before. We're going to face some persecution before we get out of here. And that's the form I believe it's going to come, Brother Hyatt. They want our children. Amen. I think deep down the devil knows he can't get us. The ones that's been born again already. We're in the hands of God. He knows he can't get us. I believe we're just like Job. I don't believe he can do a thing to us if God allowed him to for his own purpose and his own glory and bring us out better on the other end of it. Amen? I believe that. I don't believe he can put a hand on me unless God's got a purpose for it. And then, hey, I'll just be better off because of it in the end, just like Job was. I believe that in my heart. But our children that's coming up is not saved yet. The devil wants them. I'll guarantee you, does. He wants to destroy them. He wants to devour them. And they know that the younger they can get a hold of a child's mind, the easier it is to poison their mind with lies. This is just my opinion. I know I'm hard on some of this public school stuff, folks, but I'm going to tell you what. That's why they want them in Head Start now, or whatever they call it, at the age of 3 or 2. It's because they know the quicker they can get a hold of them, during them years where their beliefs and their emotions and everything about them is being formed in them and developing in them, it's going to have a great bearing on what they're going to be their whole life. That's the age they want to get them. The younger, the better. And I ain't trying to go off on a bunch of politics this morning, but I'm going to just tell you, it saddened my heart to see where our country's went. In my lifetime, I was born in 1959. I believe it was 1962. I guess I'd have been 3 years old. It's when I can't remember if it was the Bible or prayer, but that's when they took one out of school. Amen. The next year in 63, they took the other one out of schools. 10 years later after that, 73, they legalized abortion. And we went downhill at a breakneck pace ever since in this country. We really have. I'm not holding up Russia. I know that's a godless country too with a godless leader. That man over there hates God, probably just like our leader does. But I will say one thing, and it saddens my heart. You know the Gideons can still go in schools and hand out Bibles in Russia, but they can't hear. I studied that and read about that. That shocked me. They have laws over there where if sodomites go out in public and show public showings of affection, they are arrested for indecent behavior in public. We don't have that here. Here in America, they parade down the streets. Amen. Half naked. Celebrating their sin. Amen. We're in bad shape, folks. We need prayer. That's what this is talking about here, is prayer. This armor of God. I believe it's all solidified in prayer. By the help of God. How you get the help of God? Prayer. Amen. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for the church. We need to pray for sinners. And I'll stop there. We need to pray for sinners. Folks out here in this old world lost, undone without God. If we don't reach them and God don't touch their heart, Brother Joe, they're going to die and go to hell one day. That's a reality. I dare to say probably none of us really thinks about that as much or as seriously as it really is. It's like we've just been desensitized to it. I don't know. But I know it's true. I know that's one thing that drove me to my knees to beg God to help my children, because I had great fear of them dying and leaving this world without knowing God, knowing what the consequences would be. Amen. I mean, that was a great burden in my heart. It bothers me to know there's others. I know it's been probably close to a year and a half ago. I applied along with, I think, Brother Dennis and Brother Donald, who's not here this morning, to try to go with Brother Hyatt and Brother Joe and these other men into the jail. Got word this week that here in about a week and a half, they're going to take the class to get certified, and I guess if that goes well, I'll be able to get in there. I'll be honest with you, Brother Todd. I was thinking the other night, I get in there, I was just thinking to myself, man, I get in there, I don't know what I'm going to say to them fellas. I really don't. And then I thought about over there where the Lord told us, said, you know, when you get before somebody, I'll give you the words to say.
Amen.
I'll give you the words to say. I mean, I usually do pretty good talking to people, and I'm talking about as far as just being comfortable if I know them a little bit, because I know a little something about them. But a complete stranger, I still struggle with sometimes just to walk up and get in a deep conversation about anything.
You're not alone.
And I am very conscious. I don't want to offend anybody. I know I'm going to eventually. No matter how kind I try to speak to them, I know I'm going to offend somebody. Sooner or later, somewhere along the way. But I really don't like doing that. But I do know that's just part of it. That's the way it is. But you pray for us, men, as we'll try to go in there and help them fellas. I wouldn't want to be in there. And I wouldn't want to be in there and feel like I had no hope. Amen. I guess I thought about this, Brother Joe, when I was praying yesterday. I guess that's the best message I can take in there to them, is there is hope. There is hope. You don't have to live like this. You don't have to be miserable. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to live a hard life. You know, the way of transgressors is hard. Amen. Now, the way of the child of God ain't always a bed of roses either, but we do have God's help. Amen. Well, that lost man don't always. I know there's a common grace, and he watches over lost people sometimes too, where there's a purpose in it. I do know that. But they don't have the help we've got, folks. Amen. I'm thankful this morning. I just want to say I'm thankful to be saved. I'm thankful for the church family here. I appreciate the love of God he's put in our hearts. And if we express it short toward one another, I'm tremendously blessed. I have people ask me all the time, or they'll make comments about, you know, I'm sort of a poor fella. I don't have much of this world's goods. And I tell them, I said, oh no, I'm a wealthy man. I'm highly blessed. I grumble and complain. God help me and God forgive me. I grumble and complain sometimes like everybody else does. But to tell the truth, I am a highly blessed man. Just to be able to have the privilege of knowing him has made the biggest difference in my life, Brother Joe. I can't even imagine going back to what life was like before I got saved. I wouldn't want to, don't want to, have no desire to, and couldn't imagine having to do it. Just couldn't. Been talking to people before. Ask them if they ready to leave this old world. Do they know God? And I've had them to say, well, they're not sure. Or they were, but they lost it. Or something like, boy, I'm glad God gave me something better than that, Brother Robert. Yeah. I'm glad I know.
Yeah.
I'm glad I know. And I thank God for it. Amen. Church, class, let's pray for one another. I believe we're in the last days.
Yes.
I really do. I believe the Lord's coming soon. I really do. I believe that. There's a lot to be done yet, Brother Joe. I believe God wants to do a lot before he takes us out of here. You say, well, you say you don't have a lot of time left. Well, I don't think we do. You say, but you say there's a lot to do. There is. God can get a lot done in a short amount of time. We can't, but he can. Amen. And please pray for all the works and the ministries that goes out from this church. Amen. I appreciate the jail work. Every one of our missionaries. Man that comes in here and preaches to us other than Brother Hyatt. Man in the church here preaches to us. We're blessed. We really are. And I do want to say this. Pray for the internet work. The sermon audio work. That's a work God gave me. This June be 6 years ago. And God's used it. God's grown it. He's blessed it. He's used it. I think we've got right at, I don't remember the exact number, I think we've got right at 100 different preachers on there now. And over 1,000 different messages people can listen to, anytime, day or night. And we're getting a lot of listeners going on our Brother Robert hearing the preaching. Get emails quite regular, people telling us they're hearing the preaching. God's used it. That's not because of me. God just, that's what God gave me to do. He'll give you something to do if you want to do it too.
Yes, he will.
Yeah. He will. He might want you to be a prayer warrior. That's fine and good. That's as important as anything else goes on. He just might want you to live a certain way in front of people and be a witness to people. He may want you to teach. He may call some of you to preach one day. God will use you though if you want to be used. Amen. There's no better life. I'll say this, and I'm going to close and hush. There's no better life than living for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know if anything in this world even compares. And I'm just thankful to be a child of God this morning. Brother Todd, if you close us out, I appreciate it.
Our Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Amen. Lord, for the invitation of all of us, Lord. I pray, Lord, you might help us, Lord, each as your children, Lord, to put on our armor, Lord. Stand and walk in this present world, Lord, and be a testimony for God, Lord. Father, we love you this morning. We ask, Lord, to help the man of God. I pray, Lord, you might help the singing, whatever takes place,
God, take
Lord, may be pleasing to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.